Welcome to Upstart Crow, a part of Watershed Lit Radio. Join us as we explore books and culture through engaging conversations with writers, historians, and creatives, offering unique insights into the literary arts and beyond. Hosted by Ken Budd, Jennifer DeSano, and William Miller. Now, here's the show.
Greetings, podcast listeners. I'm Jennifer DeSano with a special edition of Upstart Crow, recorded on November 15th, 2025, inside the City of Fairfax Regional Library. At the information desk, patrons were asking for holds, volunteers were rolling carts and reshelving returns, printers hummed, pages turned. Every ordinary Saturday activity of a busy public library was in full swing. And then, just beyond the main floor, three meeting rooms had become the Fairfax Local Author Festival. More than 30 published writers who live in Fairfax County signed books for neighbors while a balloon twister and face painter kept the lobby alive with dragons and butterflies. I was there with the Upstart Crow mic, speaking with authors who poured their lives' experiences into memoirs of world and local travel, penned biographies of global leaders and common citizens, chronicled stories of immigration and the raw human struggle to find place, stitched comic strips that crackle with action, crafted fantasy worlds that whisked us to bold, imaginative destinations, and yes, even wrote heartwarming books and poems about our beloved pets. I invited them to envision you, our eager listeners, hunting for the next great read, and asked them to share their love of writing and deliver a captivating synopsis of their book. Here are 16 of those authors in the order they stopped by my table, each introduced with a sentence or two, then straight into their own voices. Carolyn Bilewski, Fairfax-raised cartoonist, whose long-running comic strips, Curls, and collaborative work on Black Magic Tales have earned local acclaim. Carolyn Bilewski, you've written Curls and Black Magic Tales, The Adventures of Roxy and Dean. And these are children's books, I assume.
Yeah, they're all ages. Curls, I write and illustrate, and I've been doing that since college. And that was published in the VCU student newspaper for Virginia Commonwealth University. And then I've just been doing it ever since because I love to do it. And I do it whenever I can.
Oh, wonderful. And so what age group is this? It seems like more of a graphic novel. Is this?
Yeah. It's comic strips. And I want to get into graphic novels because basically going from like a sprint to a marathon would be that. So yeah, I guess you could say I'm in training to marathon some comics soon. And then Black Magic Tales is written by Joe Carabeo, and I do the artwork for it. But we also work together pretty collaboratively. So it is like a back and forth. If someone suggests something writing-wise, like I might suggest something writing-wise, and Joe might suggest, like, make the art look a certain way. That book is black and white, but there are some colored pages in that whenever anything was needed that was colored. For example, there is a newspaper in town called Magic Bullet, and that is a large format, one-page comic strip. And some of our comics has been printed in color in there.
And are you a local author?
Yeah, I'm based in Fairfax. And I've been living in Fairfax County my whole life, with the exception of living in Richmond for college.
Okay, cool. And what do you think about reading in general, and what are your thoughts on what moves you to write, or in your case, do illustrations?
Well, reading in general, I think everyone should be reading. I know that our statistics are not so good with that, because I was a moderator on a Library of Congress panel a few years ago for the National Book Fair. They've showed some statistics that were not so great in terms of United States literacy rate, and I would encourage everybody to read, and I think it's an awesome practice to do winding down for the day. Just get in the habit of picking up a book and reading a page or two, and if you're really that tired, you will fall asleep, put the book down, but at least I get a page or two in every day.
That's really good advice, I think, for anybody, any age, too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time, and congratulations on your books. Once again, that's Curls and Black Magic Tales. And you are Carolyn Bilewski, and you're co-author on The Adventures of Roxy and Dean.
is Joe Carabeo.
Yes.
Okay. I hope everybody picks up your books. Thanks so much for being with us on Upstart Crow.
Thank you.
Kristen Amundson, former Virginia delegate, past chair of the Fairfax County School Board, and the researcher who first documented the quiet, crucial role grandparents played nationwide during the pandemic.
So, Kristen, welcome to Upstart Crow.
Thanks. I'm just delighted to be here.
We're happy to have you. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your book and what you've been doing with it?
Yes. So I write about families and schools, and my last book was about the pandemic. And one of the things that I noticed as I was interviewing people was that everybody almost who was telling the story of how they and their kids survived, a grandparent always figured in the story. The grandparent moved in, or the grandparent Zoomed with the kids every week, or whatever. And I thought, boy, that's something. I wonder what, you know, the studies say about that. And the answer was nothing. Nobody was writing about it. So I started, and I do what I do, which is I call people and then say, who else should I talk to? And I ended up talking to grandparents all over the country, and with, you know, some with one grandchild, some with 10, some who actually had taken custody of their grandchildren, some who had, you know, most of their grandchildren through college, and some who were planning the baptism, you know, ceremony. And it was just fascinating. And that is what turned into this book.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. And the subtitle is Helping Children Thrive Through Love, Support, and Connection. What's the connection with the children and the grandparents?
One of the things that we know, and we have known as far back as when the first settlers arrived in Quebec in the 1600s, what priests who kept records of births and deaths and marriages learned just from those records was that when babies were born in families where the mother lived close to her mother, those babies had a greater chance of surviving. And so I was curious about whether those connections still remain. And the answer is they do. And particularly when it comes to education and schooling, grandparents can play a big role. I would say, and I say this as a former school board member and a parent, of course, schools kind of were, well, please show up for Grandparent Day and come for the Christmas concert. And that's it. You know, so a lot of this is also based on brain research and what can you do to help your kid be more successful in school.
You live in Fairfax County, you're a former representative here.
Yes.
As your work as a politician and the school board, as well as at the Mount Vernon supervisor. So
I was actually never a supervisor. I was in the General Assembly.
General Assembly. Oh,
and had George Washington's old seat.
That's very exciting.
Which is a cool thing.
And where can people pick up a copy of it?
Well, it is not published yet, but it is going to be out in January, I think. And you will be able to get it at any bookstore, but it is published by Bloomsbury, and you'll be able to get it on Amazon or Bloomsbury. It's called Grandparent Effect, Helping Children Thrive Through Love, Support, and Connection. I'm Chris Amundson, Amundson, and it'll be available wherever books are sold.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Rebecca Hayden, multiple genre writer who moves effortlessly between memoir, historical fiction set in post-World War II Germany, and murder mysteries.
So welcome. We are talking with Rebecca Hayden. Rebecca, tell us about your books.
Well, I've written three, and unlike a lot of people, they're all three different genres. One is a memoir of growing up in Texas. One is a murder mystery that's a lot of fun if you like murder mysteries. And the other one is historical fiction that takes place in Germany 20 years after World War II. I happen to really like subcultures, and it's about what it was like to live in a military community. I was a civilian working for the Air Force. It was very, very good living. We had a lot of fun. Our dollars was at 4 marks to the dollar, so the dollars went a long way. And of course, I was single at the time. The story is fiction. Many of the events really happened, like going to Berlin when it was still a divided city. And what that was like is a real eye-opener about fascism and totalitarianism. I had never seen anything like it, being from the U.S., and that's about it about the books. The memoir is in Texas, growing up in the 50s. And if you're of a certain age, you'll remember those prom dresses that were all lace that cut into you. And I had my cousin's prom dress, and she had this chest, and there were these basket for the boobs. I had nothing. So imagine my date when I showed up in this dress that had a figure, but I did not. So that's a real fun book to write. And I had a platform for that, which everybody in my hometown bought it.
So the names of the book are The Murder of Maggie May Slipper. I love the cover on this. And for our listening audience, this is it looks like a high heels, rosy colored high heel shoe, which is sort of broken into pieces.
It's very for a femme fatale.
Oh my goodness. And the other is The Second Life of Bernice Jessup. Brincy Jessup.
It's a combination. Brenda Cecilia is her.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
And by Second Life, she was raised under one set of rules. And then in the mid-60s, they all changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had to kind of adjust herself from being a young lady to being a young woman, mm-hmm. if you kind of follow that.
Well, that's very exciting. Now, we're here at Fairfax County Public Library today interviewing local authors. You're local to this community.
Yes, right.
And how do you feel about the reading and writing and the library in general?
Reading and writing in the library in general. I have the fondest memories of the library in my little hometown. When I wanted to go somewhere where the world was mine, I would bicycle to this library, and it was in an old house. The young people's section was upstairs in the attic, and there was this dripping window air conditioner. And I can close my eyes and smell it and see it. And I was just amazed when I asked how many books I could check out at a time. And they said, all you want.
That's very nice. Thank you so much for being on Upstart Crow. And we look forward to reading your books.
And thank you for having me.
Casey Cooney, debut novelist whose women's fiction explores personal transformation and resilience.
Seeking Solace is about a young woman who has a lot of things going on. She's divorced. Her job isn't going the way it should. And she decides when she gets promotion without a raise to move somewhere else, does a little research and finds a country that, well, isn't on a real map. And she goes there and she makes a lot of the same mistakes over again. But along the way, she meets some good friends and they help each other through some problems. The book Seeking Solace by Casey Cooney.
Wonderful, Casey. Thank you so much for sharing with us. And thank you for this is your first debut novel.
This is my first one. I have one other called In the Maze of Imagination.
Okay. And is it mostly romance or what would you say your genre is?
It's pretty mainstream. I usually say women's fiction.
Okay.
But it's not just for women.
It's not
I think men would understand what's going on
too. Oh, okay. Very good.
And well, maybe even find their part and how to help us when we have our
And they're always down for instructions, right? That's great. Thank you so much, Casey. We look forward to reading your story.
All right, thank you.
Roy Whitehurst, 30-year senior CIA analyst turned media literacy advocate whose book helps readers navigate the complex landscape of social media.
Hi, my name is Roy Whitehurst. I've written a book on teaching media literacy with social media news. I am applying skills that I learned as a CIA analyst and instructor for over 30 years. I'm taking those skills and applying them to unclassified media, social media in particular. And it's geared toward the general population, really, to help everyone, when they look at social media posts, to evaluate them as objectively as they can. It's a challenge for all of us, including myself, but I think it's a timely topic. I get into topics such as artificial intelligence, how to fact check it, manipulation tactics, logical fallacies that you'll see all over media, lack of evidence, and those types of things. It supports, I think, our civic engagement, and I think it's important for our democracy that we, as a population, don't become cynical about news, and particularly on social media, but to actually become skeptical and evaluate it rather than turn away from it. So I think it's a timely topic. And I think I also provide QR codes so you can easily pull up the post I'm talking about with your phone and you don't have to type in those long URLs on the website. So,
and Roy, can you give us the name of your book again?
The name of the book is Teaching Media Literacy with Social Media News. It also has a blog that accompanies it. MediaLiteracySleuth.com is the name of the website/blog. And on there, I upload periodically a new post, either on a pop culture topic, a different topic that's in the news, and I'll evaluate it based on the skills in the book. And it helps the general population when they look at something to step back and find out, you know, kind of pause and say, hey, I think I have a reaction to this. I'm going to pause and then I'm going to apply these skills.
Oh, thank you so much, Roy. We look forward to learning more about your book. And I encourage everyone to go to your website and read the blog. Take care.
Thank you.
Karma Sri P. Murthy, whose literary works span children's books and murder mysteries, bringing diverse voices and experiences to the page.
Hi. My name is Kamakshi P. Murthy. I've written several children's books as well as murder mysteries. The books that I want to talk about, the first one is called Bandilanka's Forgotten Lives. It has to do with the lives of a South Indian village, lives that were never brought to speech in my grandparents' house. And I wanted to recover these voices, give them more power, power that they never had. The other book is called Lully Unveils a Window, and that is based on my own experiences dealing with adults with disabilities. Lully loses a leg in a car accident, and her whole perception of the world changes. And so that is based on Lully's experiences.
And you have a series?
Yes, I have a series.
And how many other books are in the series?
This has about three of them now. And the other...
Lully has about three.
And this one is just one volume of short stories.
And the name on that one again?
That was Bandilanka's Forgotten Lives. Oh, the village is called Bandilanka, mm-hmm. which literally means wagon island. Oh. So... And that is how we used to go in a bullock cart to my grandparents' village. And that is what remains in my memory, actually. You know, that is how we used to make the trip. We used to cross a river, take a bus, then go on a bullock cart to my grandparents' village.
And you're going to have your readers experience this.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Very exciting. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this.
Take care.
Okay.
Kayla Sanders, Fairfax County educator who wrote Mojada, a powerful memoir documenting her own immigrant journey as a 15-year-old crossing borders with her sister.
Hi, my name is Kayla Sanders, and I am the author of Mojada, Memoir of a Honduran Immigrant. Mojada means wet in English, and what it means is how you came to the U.S. So Latinos have implemented this word to describe the way you came. Did you come with a visa, or did you come mojado? And that's how we explain how I made it to the U.S. by land crossing Guatemala and Mexico. I wanted to share Mojada with the world so that I can speak for those that can't speak for themselves. It's a story that many times is told by third people, and I wanted this story to be a first-person story. Sharing my story as a 15-year-old crossing Guatemala and Mexico with my 14-year-old sister. We came with a coyote, and there were a lot of circumstances that made us come to the U.S. And I share with you how and why I made that decision, and also the trip land crossing Guatemala and Mexico, and getting deported and getting to the U.S. The challenges of being in the country undocumented, and also the challenges of trying to get and achieve my American dream, trying to get papers, and trying to achieve all the dreams that I came with. So I wanted to share with you this story so that you can get to know other people that are in the same shoes or that have gone through. So a lot of undocumented immigrants, whether they come as a mojada like myself or they just overstay their visa, we all face the same challenges in the U.S. So that's why I wanted to tell my story, because it represents a story of millions.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Kayla. And we hope that people will read the book, Mojada, Memoir of a Honduran Immigrant by Kayla Sanders. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Leslie Lautenschlager, former protocol assistant to Secretary of State Colin Powell, sharing intimate and humorous stories about a global leader few truly knew.
I'm Leslie Lautenschlager, and I wrote the book called My Time with General Colin Powell, Stories of Kindness, Diplomacy, and Protocol. And this is an opportunity to learn how wonderful General Powell was behind the scenes. The world knew him as a revered military leader, a revered diplomat, and some people knew him as a tremendous advocate for youth and education. But I knew him as so much more from behind the scenes. I worked with him for 25 and a half years, mostly on the international speaking circuit. And then when he became Secretary of State, I joined him at the State Department as his Assistant Chief of Protocol for Ceremonials and Special Assistant to the Secretary of State. And this meant that whenever he, as Secretary, hosted something honoring a Chief of State, head of government, foreign minister, or diplomatic corps, whether it might be a reception or a ceremony, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, that's what my staff and I did. And then after State Department, we turned to the international speaking circuit, and up through his death, we traveled the world. General Powell was a tremendous leader. About 2 years before he died, he would tease me and say, Leslie, you've got to write a book. And now I get in my little protocol high horse, my career's a protocol, and say, yes, sir, I will write a book one day, but it will be about protocol. And he would dramatically roll his eyes, an exaggerated yawn. He would say, but Leslie, you've got to write about me. You want it to sell, don't you? Well, so much of my career as in protocol meant I protected his privacy and, in addition, his family's privacy. So the idea of writing about him was actually abhorrent to me. But then a year after his death, I came full circle and kept hearing his voice in my head saying, Leslie, you got to write a book about me. And I realized that not only could I write about him, not to do so would be horrendously selfish, because I knew him to be this kind and generous man beyond the headlines. He was tremendously funny. He was a stand-up comedian. He loved practical jokes. He'd rather have a hot dog than a fancy French meal. He loved to tinker on cars. He loved Broadway. He loved ABBA. He could outsing you on any song by ABBA. So this was my opportunity to share the funny stories behind the scenes, share and emphasize the inspirational stories from behind the scenes. And then by the end of the book, there are certain chapters that will make a reader grab a tissue.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. We're looking forward to reading all about General Colin Powell. Thank you for this insider view of him.
Jerry Markowitz, whose poetry collection about his beloved pug raises funds for Alzheimer's research, demonstrating how personal stories can drive meaningful change.
Hi, I'm Jerry Markowitz, and I'm a self-published author writing mostly poetry. And my poetry is in the form of little stories. One book, Pug's Poetic Life, is written in haiku. It's, you could say, a memoir about a pug and her life from birth to death. It covers a wide range of things that she's had done, actually 50 years ago, and I recalled it clearly enough, and the photographs are 50 years old that were clear enough to print. The printing company that I used was able to enhance those photographs, and so the book, again, is a memoir of Pug throughout the years, some joyful moments, some hilarious moments, some unbelievable moments that a pug could actually do. I think she actually understood very well. It was endorsed by another writer, Pat Walsh, who loved it. My editor loved it. It covered the essence of her life. And the other book, if I could mention, is Exploring Kindness and Respect. It's poems. And I cover the wide range of kindness and respect. So it's not just simply kindness and respect among people, it's kindness and respect towards the environment, towards the past, towards lessons learned. And any book that I sell, I donate all the proceeds to support Alzheimer's research and education. My website, Gerald Markowitz, GerardMarkowitz.com. If you order from my website, There's never any delivery charge. And again, I support Alzheimer's research and education, and all the proceeds go to them.
That's wonderful, Jerry. Thank you so much for sharing your work with us today. Henry Brinton, pastor and mystery novelist, whose War Bug explores community divisions across historical moments, asking how societies heal.
I'm Henry Brinton, the author of a small town mystery called War Bug. It is set in the town of Occoquan, which is in Northern Virginia, and it's a fascinating town with a rich history. This book, War Bug, actually has chapters that alternate between Occoquan 1862 and Occoquan 2022. So two different periods of time, two different periods of struggle are explored in this book. In 1862, Occoquan was a town divided. There were many residents who wanted to secede from the Union and become part of the Confederacy. Others were Quakers who were Unionists, supporters of Abraham Lincoln, abolitionists, and also pacifists. And so they struggled with their neighbors. And the story talks about those interactions between those who wanted to preserve the Union, those who wanted to leave the Union, and how their relationships played out during a very formative year for the town and for the nation. Alternating with those chapters are chapters from Occoquan 2022. And we all know the kinds of tensions that we are facing now politically with people not understanding each other, people not communicating with each other. And so the book is an attempt to explore what can heal our communities in times of deep division. We've been there before. We're there again now. What hope do we have for the future?
Thank you so much, Henry. And where can we get copies of your book?
The books are available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, as well as at the Mill Street Museum in Occoquan, Virginia.
Rick Spies, former congressional staffer, whose satirical Washington novels offer both humor and sharp political insight.
My name is Rick Spies. I'm the author of Capital Gains, which came out in 2022, and Capital Losses, which is coming out November 18th. Next week. So these are both humorous Washington novels about a lobbyist, one at the start of his career and one at the end of his career. And he doesn't quite play by the rules. And he seems to keep getting into trouble with the FBI. In the first book, he creates a completely fictitious client and he gets legislation introduced to solve a non-existent problem. He has a congressional hearing with a professional wrestler as the star witness. And as I said, he keeps going until the FBI tries to shut him down. In the second one, he's close to retirement. It takes place in January of 2021. He hires his replacement. His replacement is caught in the Capitol on January 6th, 2021. So he's called back to clean up the mess. And he is hired by a cryptocurrency billionaire who doesn't seem to follow the rules. And they have a number of adventures together.
That's very exciting. And we're all looking forward to reading the book. Where can we find it again?
It's on Amazon. And you can come to the book fair here at the library and the next year, and I will be selling them.
Okay. 1 year from now here at the Fairfax County Public Library, you can meet Rick. Take care.
Thank you.
Eric Schmalinski, young adult fantasy author whose A Cruise End series explores magical worlds of heroism, corruption, and found family.
Hello, my name is Eric Smolinski. I go by E.R. Smo. I primarily write young adult fantasy. I'm currently working on my series, A Cruise End, and out now is book one, Affliction, and book two, Provenance. It's about a young mage who is trying to rescue his godfather from those who have taken him and are also trying to spread a corruption, turning people into ravaged, shadowy monsters. He finds allies and friends along the way, a lot of found family and fight scenes trying to deal with these villains that they're really just not equipped to handle. But lives are on the line and they're too deep into the situation to do anything but risk their lives to try to protect others. If it sounds interesting to you, please feel free to check it out.
And where can we learn about, where can we find these?
You can find these books on Amazon, both ebook and paperback. You can search the series title, A Cruise End, or just my author name, E.R.Smo.
Oh, very cool. I'm looking at the cover and there's this very intriguing woman sitting atop, what is that, a monster?
A pile of bodies.
Oh my gosh.
She's kind of pretty, but she's not particularly friendly.
Oh, okay. I'd like to learn more about her. And this gentleman who has a sword and looks like he's defending himself, I think, from
yep.
Is that what's happening?
It is.
Oh, well, we're very excited to read more about your books, Affliction series and Provenance.
Yes.
Is book two. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Kat Needham. Versatile writer whose works range from humorous dog memoirs to heartwarming children's stories about animal rescue and community kindness.
Hi, this is Kat Needham, and my two books are Shepherd Girl, A Dog Story, and Yuna and the Fox. Shepherd Girl, A Dog Story is my nonfiction humorous memoir about my German Shepherd puppy, Athena, and the various misadventures that we get into together. The book's audience, I would say, anyone from age 10 and up. It's a humorous memoir, so it's more funny than sad. There's a sad part at the end, but just for everyone to know, spoiler alert, the dog does not die in the end, because I get asked that a lot. The other book is a children's book called Yuna and the Fox, which is based on a true story of a little lost whippet here in Chantilly, Virginia, that was lost from the vet's office, was struck by a car, and she ultimately was recovered safe and sound. But one of the stories about her was she had been spotted traveling with a wild fox. And so I thought that would make a nice kid's book. And the book emphasizes kindness, cooperation, and the plight of feral cats. And it's just great for all ages. We've had people... adults read it to their pets and put that on Instagram. And I would say for children, the age ranges are 3 and up. So both those books are available, and I hope you enjoy them.
Okay, thank you so much, Kat. And do you have a website as well?
I am on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay, so you can find you there.
Correct.
One or more.
Yes. Shepherd Girl has its own page, and so does Yuna and the Fox.
Wonderful. Thank you. We look forward to reading these wonderful stories. Becca Easty, literary fiction author whose works explore complex human experiences through epistolary novels, short story collections, and deeply personal narratives.
I'm Becca Easty, and I have 3 books today. I have The Unsent Letters of Lucy Pryor, which is an epistolary novel. I have Fireflies in a Jar, which is literary fiction. And I have My Side of the World and Other Tales of Death, which is a collection of short stories. The Unsent Letters of Lucy Pryor is an epistolary novel, so every chapter is a standalone letter, and you learn about her through her letters as her family does. Fireflies in a Jar is about a Northern Virginia professional in her mid-30s who feels like she's missed out on life and decides to drastically change it, causing chaos for herself and her family. But luckily, she has some friends who help her out of her own way. And My Side of the World and Other Tales of Death might sound imposing because it has death in the title, but it's actually about grief and love and coming together and how communities can help each other and individuals who have experienced loss. So I hope you all will pick up a copy. You can go to my website, beccaweasty.com, and I've got some events in Northern Virginia throughout the year, so I hope to meet you in person, and happy reading.
Keisha Strand, children's book author and illustrator, whose stories celebrate sibling relationships, imagination, and the joy of childhood discovery.
Hi, my name is Keisha Strand. I am the author and illustrator of 2 books, I Need a Friend and What If We Went. Both of my books are inspired by my 2 kids who are the best of friends. My first book is about a brother and a sister. The brother needs help finding a friend, and his sister helps him along the way, all the while he realizes that his sister was his friend the whole time. And What If We Went There are siblings who are about to go to bed, but they're just not tired enough. So they use their imagination to go to different places and they wear themselves out and end up falling asleep anyway. I hope that you check out these books and enjoy them with your families.
Thank you so much, Keisha. We're looking forward to them. And I love the covers of the books. We have some charming little children on the covers of the books. Very nice.
Dave Hatcher, veteran and journalist whose memoir traces an extraordinary journey from the heartland of Iowa through military service, international reporting, and personal transformation.
My name is Dave Hatcher, and the title of my book is Son of the Heartland, On the Way to the Promised Land. It's a memoir tracing my life story from growing up in the heartland, Iowa. Graduated from West Point, 4 years in West Point, and then several years in the military. After the military, including time in Vietnam and Asia and Thailand, etc., returned, went to graduate school, and then went back to Asia as a reporter after the fall of Saigon, after the fall of the change of management in those countries, and interpreted several different events over the next 10 years in Asia as a foreign reporter, working for CBS News, working for the BBC, and working for Newsweek magazine. The first half of the book is about those stories all over South Asia and Southeast Asia. The second half of the book is my return to the United States, relocation, and spending time in and out of government and traveling some more in foreign assignments in the former Soviet Union and other places. The biggest compliment of my book came from my wife, who says, regardless of whether you want to read the book or not, only chapters you need to read are the chapter when Dave fell in love with me and the chapter on our honeymoon. Everything else is not worth reading.
That's lovely. I'm sure the whole book is worth reading.
It's a cute story. It's cute.
It's wonderful. A son of the heartland of America who travels the world and has so much impact. And thank you so much. We're looking forward to the memoir.
And as a bonus, two authors who didn't make it to my mic on the day of the event sent in their information on their books. And I'd like to share with you those as well. Deanna Rina wrote Mental, A Preposterous Pursuit of Love. Her decision to document her story stemmed from a challenging period in her life following a layoff and enduring singlehood.
Hi, my name is Deanna Rina, and I'm the author of the book, Mental, A Preposterous Pursuit of Love. This is a true story that reads like a fiction novel. It's about my crazy dating life with international and American men, as well as my career ups and downs. It can best be described as Sex in the City meets Eat, Pray, Love against a backdrop of music and dance. So if you're looking for a story that is about love and obstacles and family and friends and mental health and self-help, then you should read this book. This story is raw, entertaining, and empowering.
And the second is Janet McCary, award-winning author of historical adventures for middle grade readers, including the new The Falls, set in an unforgettable 1953 road trip across America.
Hi, I'm Janet McCary, and this is my book, The Falls. The story takes place in 1953 when 11-year-old Monty and her father go to a remote fishing camp called Brooks Camp for the summer. He is to work and she is to stay out of trouble, which will be rough because there's terrain, wild animals, adult bullies, and all kinds of trouble to get into. I'm honored to say that the book was awarded Gold Medal First Place in Juvenile Fiction for both the Next Generation Indie Book Awards and the SIPA Evies. I hope you get a chance to read it. It's available in paperback and ebook.
18 voices, 18 books now moving from folding tables into the hands and homes of the county that shaped every one of these writers. All of this was made possible by librarians Raybinder Singh and William Osborne, who spent months planning every detail, by the Fairfax Library Foundation, which removes every financial barrier for participating authors, and by the library staff and volunteers who made the day feel effortless, and by the hundreds of residents who came ready to listen, to buy, to borrow, and to take a new story home. This festival is just one of the many ways Fairfax County Public Library makes our community brighter. And they remind all of us that a community that reads together and writes together becomes a community that understands itself a little better. For a full list of the authors that participated in our podcast, you can look at the show notes. This has been the Library Reads special episode on Upstart Crow. We hope to bring you more live author events like this one as part of a series on community engagement and literacy. I'm Jennifer DeSano. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Upstart Crow. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Your feedback helps others find the show. Be sure to follow us on social media and check out our website at upstartcrow.org for more information on our episodes, guests, and ways you can support the podcast. You'll find all of the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time right here on Upstart Crow, a part of Watershed Lit Radio.